You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Hello, and welcome to our second of three podcasts on asthma hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Reducing the Usage of Oral Corticosteroids in the Management of Asthma, a part of the BREATHE initiative. This series will be designed to meet the educational needs of community primary clinicians, allergists, immunologists, pulmonologists, otolaryngologists, and other members of the multidisciplinary team. My name is Dave Chapman, and I will be your host for today's podcast. In this episode, we'll examine the management of patients with moderate to severe asthma, the treatment challenges, advantages of biologic medicines, and the use of referrals to asthma specialists to optimize patient outcomes. I'm joined by Dr. Anju Peters, Professor of Medicine, Associate Chief of Clinical Practice and Innovation, Division of Allergy and Immunology, and Director of Center for Clinical Research, Northwestern University Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute. Welcome, Dr. Peters.
Thank you.
It's great to work with you today. I think we should just dive right into a brief case for discussion. And Mr. Peters is a 41-year-old male. He's 5'11", 186 pounds. 2 years ago, his asthma was diagnosed by his internist. His last exacerbation was 2 months ago, and he's been referred to you with the following past medical history: frequent productive cough with whitish sputum, exacerbations that consisted of wheezing, coughing, and shortness of breath, approximately every 3 to 4 months, requiring steroid bursts, and also significant for chronic sinusitis with nasal polyps that cause nasal congestion and anosmia. And finally, GERD, which is controlled with omeprazole as needed. His prior asthma medications were fluticasone and salmeterol twice daily, and also montelukast. His current asthma medications that were started about 2 months ago are high-dose budesonide and formoterol via inhalation, tiotropium inhaler, and he last received prednisone about 6 weeks ago. So, Dr. Peters, given his need for steroid bursts and his current asthma symptoms and medications, what biomarkers would you like to see resulted to characterize his asthma?
So, Dave, this patient has asthma, and it's actually severe asthma because he has needed frequent courses of oral corticosteroids despite being on optimal medications with inhaled corticosteroids, LABA, also LAMA. In terms of biomarkers, you know, biomarkers help guide therapy. Biomarkers help us with precision medicine, which we all aim for these days. The way biomarkers would help me is that I would check blood eosinophils in him, and I would also check a fractional exhaled nitric oxide. Blood eosinophils are very easy to measure. We can do it with a simple one poke. And, you know, blood eosinophils give us lots of information. Higher blood eosinophils suggest to us that someone's asthma is more severe, potentially at higher risk for exacerbations, and may also help us select future therapies such as biologics for this patient. In terms of fractional exhaled nitric oxide, or I'll call it FeNO throughout today's talk, FeNO is a very good biomarker to look at what we call type 2 inflammation in the lungs or airways. It also helps us guide with treatment options, including biologics. And, you know, it's a good way of measuring someone's asthma inflammation. It's also a very easy test to do. So those would be the two biomarkers that I would think of in this patient.
Great. Thank you for that. And I'm curious, while you were explaining that, a question came to my mind. How frequently do you do biomarkers in patients that are in your care? I mean, is that something, does it depend upon the patient's severity, or do you do it routinely every 4 to 6 months, or do you use these to monitor?
So, you know, asthma is a very heterogeneous condition, right? There can be many different ways it presents. There can be different severities. There can be different control. And we have many different available treatment options. So I think these biomarkers really do help us kind of rate how severe someone's asthma is. And in someone with very mild asthma, I may not check blood eosinophils. as long as the history is pretty convincing that that person has asthma. Fractional exhaled nitric oxide, I tend to do in clinic when I see a new asthmatic. However, in some with mild asthma that, again, I'm not worried that I'm missing something else and I'm pretty sure that it's asthma, I may not do it. But I often will do it in someone with moderate asthma, severity asthma, definitely with severe asthma. In terms of follow-up, I will sometimes use the FeNO to see how a person is doing. It guides therapy. It tells me, is there more type 2 inflammation? And blood eosinophils, I will follow if they're on the elevated side. Or if I, you know, if I've been managing someone with asthma and then I'm thinking they need a biologic, especially a biologic that targets eosinophils, and this person has raised eosinophils from the past, then I would check eosinophils and monitor it.
Dr. Peters, what are your greatest concerns when using oral corticosteroids?
So, you know, we know that about 5 to 10% of asthmatics are severe asthmatics, and those severe asthmatics are at higher risk for exacerbations. So we tend to use systemic oral corticosteroids for those exacerbations. And, you know, oral steroids do help decrease the inflammation and improve exacerbations. However, those frequent courses, even short bursts of oral corticosteroids, can lead to side effects. And if someone is on long-term oral corticosteroids, then we really worry about side effects. And side effects of long-term exposure to oral corticosteroids include, as many of you probably are aware, osteoporosis, fractures, obesity, people's appetite goes up, other things we worry about, cataracts, glaucoma, there are many. GI discomfort with potentially risk for ulcers. It can affect your mood, so these patients may get more anxious or depressed. And even not just short long-term courses, but even short courses have shown that there are associated complications with oral corticosteroid use. And in fact, we know that individuals who are on maintenance oral corticosteroids, it is one of the leading causes of drug-related adverse effects. So here we are using it to treat asthma, but potentially we do end up causing side effects. And we know oral steroid courses are used very often in asthmatics. In fact, studies have shown that more than half the patients with severe asthma will have had at least one course of oral corticosteroid, and more than two-thirds of those patients will have had more than one course of oral corticosteroids in the past 2 years.
What biologic options would you consider to reduce this patient's need for oral corticosteroids?
So the patient that we are presented with today has severe asthma, is needing frequent courses of oral steroids, but also has chronic rhinosinusitis with nasal polyps, which has been shown to be present in up to one-third of patients with severe asthma. Patients with severe asthma who have chronic rhinosinusitis with nasal polyps, or I'll shorten it just for ease of saying it, CRS with nasal polyps, tend to have more severe asthma. The biologic selection that I would think of, in someone like him with two, what we call type 2 comorbidities, asthma and nasal polyps, there are a few biologics that are actually approved for both of these conditions. So you could do dupilumab, which blocks IL-4 receptor alpha. You could consider mepolizumab, which blocks IL-5, the cytokine that's important for eosinophilic survival and growth. The other biologic approved for both is omalizumab, which targets IgE. You could consider any of these. In terms of efficacy, it appears, based on a comparison of all these drugs, that dupilumab probably helps nasal polyps the most. In terms of asthma, you know, they all tend to work pretty well, probably mepolizumab and dupilumab more so than omalizumab. So I would consider, if this person has high exhaled FeNO, eosinophils that are a little bit on the high side, I would probably consider dupilumab first, since both of those biomarkers being elevated are associated with improved benefit from the biologic dupilumab. Now, if his FeNO is not elevated and only his eosinophils are elevated, then potentially you could use mepolizumab, and omalizumab would help too. And then finally, if this patient over time has maintenance systemic corticosteroids, so we know he was prescribed prednisone 6 weeks ago, and if he remains on that oral steroid with three biologics I mentioned, both dupilumab and mepolizumab have shown in patients who are steroid dependent to help decrease asthma exacerbations, but also decrease the need for oral corticosteroids.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peters. Can you provide insights on how you would monitor this patient in addition to clinically? Are there specific biomarkers, for example, you might find useful to predict exacerbations?
Yeah, so clinically, you know, again, asthma is a clinical diagnosis. I would monitor him clinically, symptoms-wise. Hopefully his symptoms are better. I would ask him how much rescue inhaler he's using. I would check his lung function and monitor that as well. In addition, in terms of biomarkers, if his blood eosinophils are elevated, I think that's another way to monitor this patient. As I mentioned earlier, high blood eosinophil counts is associated with worse asthma severity, increasing risk of exacerbations. Same thing with FeNO. If his FeNO was high before, you could monitor FeNO and see if that's high, because then that to me represents persistent type 2 inflammation. And prior to starting the biologics, as I mentioned, I would check these biomarkers too.
Dr. Peters, thank you for this excellent information. Is there anything that you would like to add for the benefit of our audience?
So, you know, these biomarkers help us a lot. For example, FeNO, which is very easy to check and measure, can be used as an adjunct to diagnostic evaluation. FeNO has been used to predict response even to inhaled steroids, inhaled corticosteroids, which our asthmatics are on. It can predict maybe adherence to those meds and help us decide a biologic therapy, for example, that we would use for this patient. We know higher FeNO levels are associated with lower lung function and increased risk for future asthma exacerbations. So like I said before, I would use it to monitor someone's asthma treatment. And again, asthma is very heterogeneous, so you don't want to rely just on one biomarker. You would want to use other things such as checking patient's symptoms, checking lung function, all the other standard things that we do for asthma assessment. And then in terms of blood eosinophils, we can definitely use blood eosinophils to guide treatment. We know the higher the eosinophil count, potentially the patient has more severe disease and has risk for poorer outcomes. Blood eosinophils also guide us in choosing biologics that potentially target eosinophilic inflammation. And, you know, it is actually a modest predictor of future exacerbations. So it is something I would use to monitor a patient, especially in someone with history of frequent exacerbations.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peters. And that's all the time we have for today. I would like to again thank Dr. Peters for taking the time to speak today about the risk of oral corticosteroids and the use of biologic agents for those patients with moderate to severe asthma. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We hope you listen to another episode from this series, as well as some of the many other types of CME programs that Med Learning Group offers. This podcast is brought to you by Med Learning Group. In support of improving patient care, Med Learning Group is jointly accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, ACCME, the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education, ACPE, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center, ANCC, to provide continuing education for the entire healthcare team. I'd like to give a special thank you to our supporters, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals Incorporated and Santa Fe, who provided an educational grant for this activity. I hope you all have an excellent day.